Yeah.
In Ecclesiastes 7:3, it says that sorrow is better than like laughter. Why?
It's a question I think that puzzles a lot of believers, why something like this would be so. It's really the same question as why do bad things happen to good people? Because really the question is, why does God allow them or maybe even send them when He has the authority and the power to not allow them? And in a manner of speaking, it's the same type of question. Right, so let's take a look at it. Your question is about Ecclesiastes 7:3, but let's start it with 7:1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Now, let's just stop there for a moment. The day of my death is better than the day of my birth. Have you considered this? We believers think it is the other way around. This is one of the reasons why we dread difficulty. Because the day of death is better than my birth, but we don't think of it that way. Now, death is not just talking about physical death, albeit, yes, it is talking about physical death, but there is more. What is the day of my death? That is the day that I reckon myself dead indeed unto self. I was born, and then I was born again. But in order to be born again, I had to die, in a manner of speaking. Why did I have to die? Because in order to be born unto God, I have to be dead unto self. So the day of my death is better than the day of my birth. Because the day of my death is one, the day that I will spiritually start living together, like we talked about earlier today, right? Walking with was actually living together with God. And then in my reality, not in the spiritual sense, I'm sorry, I don't mean reality in that it is real, but then also face to face, when I die, I will be able to walk with God. You know, I can walk with God now, I can live together with God now, much the same way that I will live together with God when I am in heaven. Nobody says in the Bible that I cannot have heaven here. Oh, there are certain differences, of course. Like here we have to live by faith. In heaven we won't need faith. In heaven we will have perfect sight and we will see God face to face. But in heaven we will be as He is, but now we are as He is. There is no reason why I cannot experience much of my inheritance now. You see, I am now a child of God. I don't have to wait to heaven to be a child of God. So when I die to the world and I am born unto God, the day of my death was better than the day of my first birth, because the day of my death leads to my second birth. The day of my birth led me into the world. The world is separated from my Savior. But the day of my death will bring me to my Savior, where I will see Him face to face, where He will stand and welcome me home. It is a better day. Now, that being said, because there are people who will probably hear this on the internet, and God forbid that someone should be in a state mentally or depressed whereby they might be considering taking their own life. That being said, the believer who takes his life is the believer who takes away his opportunities. You see, I will not have any pixie dust in heaven that will resolve my dilemmas. I will not have pixie dust in heaven that will cause me to know God more than I know Him here. Now, yes, I will see Him face to face. Yes, I will be rid of my old sin nature. But I carry to heaven only that which I have stored in my heart here. There are two things that I will take with me. I will take the Word of God stored in my heart and the souls I have won to Christ. That is all. For those people, God forbid anybody should do this, for those people who take their own life, you have removed yourself from the only opportunities you will have to be rewarded by God for eternity. And though the believer will not lose his salvation, it is possible for him to be saved as by fire, where the rewards are non-existent, but heaven is eternal. I would far rather know that if I suffer with Christ here, I will reign with Him. I would far rather know that momentary light affliction, and really, even though the affliction may seem extraordinary, and the affliction may seem like it's all that I can do just to get through the day, it is really but a light affliction. Because it is an affliction that, what is the maximum that it can possibly last? It can only last until I go home. At home, there will be no affliction. But that affliction is my opportunity for an eternal weight of glory. Now, that weight of glory is not the way that we think of it, that we think of it in human terms. That weight of glory is eternal reward. That weight of glory is the morning star order. That weight of glory is crowns. That weight of glory is knowing God. That weight of glory is closeness to my Savior. That weight of glory is something that will clothe me in heaven and will determine my position in heaven before God and the life that I live in heaven. You see, that suffering that I endure now is carving out a capacity for me for rejoicing in eternity. It is far better that I endure that now than that I lose the opportunity and never have that reward for eternity. You see, my life is but a vapor. I don't have, except for a few years, God willing, that's all I have. Those are my opportunities. People curse their life because it is difficult. Yet they are cursing the very opportunities that God has given them to get close to Him. It's in those difficulties that I get to know God. It's not in the easy times. It's not in the lightness. It's not in that which is pleasant and nice. It is in that which is difficult. I will draw near to God in my hardship. I will not draw so near to Him in my times of ease. Now, I may still pray. I may still study the Bible. I may still walk with Him. And that's not what I mean. But to get to know God in the depth and the richness of His entire character, I need those times of difficulties. Jesus opted. He was the only man who had the choice, and He chose those difficulties. The value of those difficulties is beyond measure. He is the only one. Richard Wurmbrand said that, right? When he was beaten in a communist prison after years and years and years of constant, almost daily torture, in communist prisons, he was beaten so badly, they threw him back into the cell, and he turned to another believer who had been there even longer than he had, than Wormbrand had. And he asked this man, if God loves his children, how can he allow this to happen to them? And the man turned to him and said, consider that if the only man who had the ability to choose his fate chose to suffer, what great value he must have seen in that. We don't value our hardships. We curse them. Yet it's the very hardships that God has ordained in our lives that bring us the hidden riches. You see, they are hidden in dark places. Don't curse your dark places, because there are riches from God to be found there. And God's riches are eternal. They cannot be taken away from you. Don't curse them. God forbid anyone ever take their life, because they have taken away the only opportunities they will ever have to get to know Christ by faith. Now, if a person who is saved will not lose their salvation, even if they take their life, but the Bible says that anyone who kills, that person will not go into heaven. No murderer will go to heaven, Romans chapter 1. So if I take my life, if I commit self-murder, how can I really have assurance in my heart of being born again? It is far better for me that I learn to get to know the Holy Spirit, that I learn the love of God in a difficult place, because the love of God will meet me there. No matter how difficult, no matter how dark, no matter how deep the trial, no matter how painful the hurt, the love of God will meet me there. And I may not see Him right now, but He is there. You see, dark places are dark because I have no sight. But He is there. And I will not necessarily even be able to find my way to Him, but He will find His way to me. You see, God says He will never leave nor forsake. And even though I may not be able to feel Him, His actions and His decisions are not based on my feelings. They are based on who He is and what He has said. And He has said that He loves with an everlasting love. Don't be afraid of the difficulty. Don't be afraid of the trial. Don't be afraid of the hard time. Don't be afraid of it being painful. Because sometimes it will be. But there are times of abasing and times of abounding. I may be in the valley, but that's only because I'm between two mountains. If I continue, I will be on the mountain again. You see, this is why it says that. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. If I fall in love with feasting, will I rely on God? I will rely on feasting. If I fall in love with good times, what will I do in the bad ones? If I fall in love with ease, how will I deal with difficulty? Don't love your ease and don't love your difficulty. Love your Savior. It is easy for me to walk as a Christian when it's easy. But sometimes it's easy for me to walk as a Christian when it's not. Because I can take on the self-image of suffering. And it can give me a nice religious mentality because Jesus suffered. And I can say to myself, now I can identify with Him because I am suffering. But can I also identify with Him when I'm not suffering? Don't fall in love with your ease and don't fall in love with your difficulty. Fall in love with your Savior. Because then it won't really matter whether I am suffering or whether it is easy. I still have the love of the Savior and that will preserve me. In verse 3, sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. Why? You see, in laughter, I don't have to get better. But in sorrow, I see my need for my Savior, and I will draw near to Him. And if I draw near to Him, He will draw near to me. Love God. Just love God. Plain and simple. Why? Because He loves you. It's that simple. Love God because He loves you. Oh, but I don't love God. I don't know how to love God. Okay. Then just let Him love you. It's that simple. Okay, God, I don't know how to love You. So You love me. And you know what? That's all right. That's where Peter was. Peter, when he was in that position, God said to him, "Feed my sheep, feed my lamb, feed my sheep." He received his calling and he didn't even love God. I don't need to love God to receive my calling. I need to be loved by Him. It's that simple. Let's go to Isaiah 49 for a moment. And starting in verse 1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath He made mention of my name. The Lord had called me from my womb. I didn't have the opportunity to love Him yet. And I had already been loved by Him and called by Him. He had known my name. He called my name. And I was still in the womb. For those people who think abortion is okay, read this verse. Do you really believe that a fetus is just unviable tissue when God calls that child from the womb? Right? And He calls him by his name. He knows the child's name and the child is in the womb. Do you think it's okay with God? I don't think so. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of His hand hath He hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In His quiver hath He hid me. And He said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught. And in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now, saith the Lord that formed me from the womb, to be His servant, to bring Jacob again to Him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. I have been called by God to be glorious in His eyes. What does that mean? I have been called by God to be glorious in His eyes. It means that I have been called by God to reflect His glory back unto Him. How do I reflect the glory of God back unto God? I get conformed to the image of Christ, but how will I allow that to happen? How is it that I can go through that suffering, like Ecclesiastes 7 says? How is it that it is better to have sorrow? How can I say such a thing? Because I have to know the character of God in order to say it. You see, the writer of Ecclesiastes, the great preacher, he knew the character of God. He knew the heart of God. He knew the love of God. He knew the mercy of God. He knew that in sorrow, God's mercy would meet him there. He knew that that is where he would find it. He knew that if he went through a dark time, that he would not die in the valley of the shadow of death, that it was just a valley of shadows. But he knew that at the same time, his times were in God's hands. And that it didn't really matter what it looked like, his times were in God's hands. And that the opportunity to go through that valley of the shadow of death was simply an opportunity to get to know God in that situation in a way that he could not possibly get to know him before. You see, how do I know the depth of the love of God if I don't need the love of God? In my easy times, I can do pretty well on my own. I can make a good show of it in the flesh. But it's when my flesh is stripped away, when I'm weak, when I don't have any hope apart from my Savior, when everything has come against me, when I am hurting rather badly, when I am lonesome, when I am alone being attacked, when I am perhaps ill, when I am surrounded by people and yet totally isolated and by myself, God brings me to these places. Why does He bring me to these places? So that He can show me His faithfulness to me. You see, how do I know that God is faithful unless I need Him to be? How do I know that God loves me unless I need to be loved by Him? How do I know that God is strong unless I have no strength of my own and need His strength to be mine? The only way that I can do that is to be taken to a place that is a difficult place for me. Because otherwise I won't turn to God's love. I won't turn to His strength. If I am never weak, God will never be strong on my behalf. I'm strong by myself. And some people would say, I'd rather be strong by myself, but that is a deception. You see, whether I realize it or not, I have no strength. The good thing is when I realize, come to that point of realization and I stop relying on my own strength so I can experience God's strength in my life. When I can stop relying on my abilities and I experience God's ability on my behalf. That's a good place to be. But it's in a point of weakness, and that weakness came through suffering. How will I be broken if God never breaks me? Well, if the bread isn't broken, the multitudes aren't fed and the fish are not multiplied. The bread must be broken. How does God fill me if the vessel isn't broken? We often think of how does God empty me, but how does He fill me? Do not despise the day of suffering. Do not fall in love with your pleasure. Do not fall in love with your sorrow. Fall in love with your Savior. Because it is the Savior who has given you both. Savior who has chosen that portion for Himself. See, that's the thing. It's not like God is sending me into something that He was unwilling to take for Himself. It's not like God is asking me to suffer the loss of a loved one, for example. Maybe those poor people who lose their children. It's not like God hasn't done the same. You see, God suffered the loss of His children also. He not only suffered it, He chose it on my behalf. Can you imagine the Father looking down on the Son as He was being beaten and tortured, flogged with cat o' nine tails 39 times when 40 times was lethal? And those cat o' nine tails, those were nasty little things, 9 leather whips with bone and steel in them and glass, and little hooks so as to tear the flesh. And the Father, who had all power, who commanded legions of angels, who at one word could destroy or create, stood by and watched. What was in the Father's heart as He watched? What was in the Father's heart as He could not look upon my sin on His Son and had to turn away? What was in His heart then? You know what was in His heart? Love for me. Because that's why He sent His Son to die. It was love for me. We do not endure things. We curse them because we don't know the love of God. We don't know that God loves us in every situation. We don't know that God loves us in our anger, and we don't know that God loves us in our depression. We don't know that God loves us in our sorrow. We don't know that God loves us in our failure. But He loves us. He loves us so much that He willingly sent His Son to die. A parent looks at the death of a child and laments because it breaks that parent's heart, or a spouse, or the death of a spouse, or maybe even the child, the death of a parent, or whoever, loved one losing loved one. God lost His Son, but He chose it. And you may say, oh, but I didn't choose it. Ah, but that choice was much harder than the involuntary loss. You see, He chose it because He was going to lose somebody. He was going to lose His Son, or He was going to lose me. And He would not lose me. So He lost His Son. That was a real death. Now consider one thing. It is easy to say, well, yes, but in 3 days He rose again. What are 3 days to an eternal God? To an eternal God, there are no 3 days. He lost His Son. The eternal God lost His Son. What was in His heart? In His heart there was love for me. You see, He was either going to turn His back on me, or He was going to turn His back on His Son. So He chose, and He turned His back on His Son. What great love He must have for me. Like, who would you give your Son for? What great love He must have for me. That I was more precious to Him than His own Son. I don't understand the love of God. It it is bigger than I am. I simply know that it is. I don't need to understand the love of God. I simply believe it. I can't figure out the love of God, but I can trust it. Because it is in God's heart. You see, sometimes the difficulty is different. Sometimes the difficulty is in seeing another person suffer. And it is one thing to suffer and to say to myself, okay, I can identify with Christ, and people can recognize that and appreciate it. And there is comfort in there, and there should be. But for the family, or the loved one who has to watch someone suffer, they also identify, but not with the son. They identify with the father who had to stand by, watching his son hanging on the cross, dying as an innocent man on behalf of those who were guilty. I can't quite fathom that. But this is what he has chosen. And he chose it because he loves. Why is it better that it is better to have sorrow than rejoicing? Because God loves. In that sorrow, I get to know God. That is where the soul is made better, by receiving the love of God. In rejoicing, I will not think about the love of God. In sorrow, I will. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because those bad things only seem bad if I do not look at them from eternal perspective. But if I look at them from eternal perspective, if I look at them from the standpoint of the Word of God and God's promises and God's character, I find that He meets me in dark places and rewards me richly, that those dark places were actually intended for an eternal weight of glory. They are my opportunities. Do not despise your opportunities. Do not curse them and say, I want to get away from them. They are the only opportunities I will ever have. And once they are gone for all of eternity. But I have them. And as long as I am here, I have those opportunities. And I'll take those opportunities. And I will keep my eyes on Christ. And I will fellowship with His love. Because I know that His love will take me through the dark times, through the shadow, valley of the shadow of death. And because of His love in the valley of the shadow of death, I do not have to fear, because perfect love casts that fear out. I can go through that valley because I know that I am loved by the Creator of the universe, who is the Savior of my soul. And if He had chosen me over His own Son, what is it that He's going to withhold now? He will not withhold anything, because He loves me. And He gave Himself for me. See, the love of God is different than what we think. It's not sentimental. It doesn't look for ease. It looks for my heart. And it brings me to the place where I'll give Him that heart. Because He has given His heart to me a long time ago, even before I was born. This is why He called me from the womb, because from the womb He desired me. God has ordained difficulties because He has ordained for me to be rewarded. God has ordained dark places because He has ordained fellowship with me. You see, it is only in those dark places, it is the nature of man, that only in those dark places will I really, with earnestness, in the heart pursuit, in earnest, pursue after God. You see, those good times are just a little too tempting. Those good times put me to sleep. This is the problem of the Laodicean age. There is ease, but there is desolation. You see, the church of Smyrna, they had no ease. They were extremely persecuted, but they did know God. That was different. And you see, for that short period of time that they had to go through difficulty, God gave them an eternal reward with an eternal weight of glory, riches they would never lose. It's easy to blow off eternal riches until you get into eternity. And then you sense the eternal loss. You see, I would much rather pay the price now and have eternity to enjoy the rewards than enjoy some comfort now and suffer loss of rewards for eternity. It is better for me. Eternity is a longer time than 70 or 80 or 90 years if I am extremely fortunate and blessed by God. But who knows if I have that long? See, we look at torment as a bad thing. God looks at it as an opportunity. We look at hardship as a bad thing. God looks at it as an opportunity. We look at difficulties, persecution, rejection as a bad thing. God says you've got an opportunity. These are the opportunities where I earn my rewards. I don't earn my salvation, but I do earn my rewards. And these are my opportunities. Will I get to know the love of God when I need to know the love of God? Or will I reject the opportunity? Will I reject the plan? Will I reject the challenge and never really get to know Christ at all? Except that I am saved. It's really my own decision. But God gives anyone who is willing, any willing heart will receive the opportunities and will receive the dark places where they find those hidden riches. Amen.